So this morning, chapter 3 of Numbers, it's going to be a little different. It's a long chapter. We aren't going to read a lot of it. We're going to travel a little bit this morning, but it starts out with this. It says, "These also are the generations of Aaron and Moses in the day that the Lord spake with Moses in Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the son of Aaron, Nadab, the firstborn, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office. And Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. And Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron their father. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. And you shall give the Levites unto Aaron to his sons, that they are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. And you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on the priest's office. And the stranger shall not, that cometh nigh, shall be put to death." Hold on to that. We're going to hit that a little bit later. But it says then, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "And behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord." And towards the end of the chapter, he talks about the redemption money that was going to be given, the redemption that was going to happen. And it's interesting that he talks about redemption in this place, because Levi, the tribe of Levi, didn't start out well. In fact, let me read to you a little bit from just these places where they've come from. In Genesis 34, it talks about this. The 12 sons had come out with dad, with their sister, Dinah. Dinah went out into the land that they went to. They weren't supposed to be in that land. They went there anyway. And bad consequences happen when we don't follow the things of the Lord. But she was raped, and the sons took vengeance into their own hands, and this is what they did. In verse 24 of chapter 34, it says, "Unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened all that went out of the gate of the city, and every male was circumcised, and all that went out of the gate of the city." The man that raped Dinah wanted to marry her after he raped her, and so Jacob, not being the dad that he probably should have been, and not doing the things that he should have, said, "Okay, sure, let's make an agreement, but we can't have this unless all the males in the city get circumcised." And so the dad evidently had influence over all of the city, and all the males were circumcised. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, no duh, the two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the whole city, boldly, and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. And the sons of Jacob came upon the slain, spoiled the city because they had defiled her sister. And they took all the stuff, the sheep, the oxen, the asses, and all of that stuff, all the wealth, and all the wives, all the kids. They did all of that on their own, without leading, without God's permission, without their father's permission. They just went and did these things. Levi was not a nice guy. Neither was Simeon. But something must have happened, and it happened in the book of Exodus, as we read there. And it's interesting, the way God works and the way God does things, he can take evil and work good out of it. We've seen it before. We see it happen in our own lives, and we certainly want to be in that place where we look and realize what God is doing, and not to trust our eyes, but to trust the Lord. And that's where we need to get to as Christians, because we're seeing awful things in the world. But we need to trust the Lord. God, you have a plan, you have a purpose, you have a way. Help us not to walk by what we see, but by what we know. And if you don't know the word, then you have no truth to stand on. You're standing on shaky ground, sinking sand, as the scriptures call it. And you're going to sink in despair. You're going to sink in depression. You're going to sink in the things of this world, and you're never going to get out unless you come to Jesus. Look at what happens here in Exodus chapter 32. It says this in verse 29, "For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow a blessing upon you. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you sinned a great sin. I will now go up to the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for you. And they've done all these things. They came down with the golden calf. And Moses said, every man take unto you a sword that's for the Lord. And it was only the tribe of Levi that picked up the sword. And they slew 3,000 souls that didn't want to follow the Lord or the things of the Lord. They wanted the golden calf. They wanted an idol instead of the living God. But it's interesting that it was the tribe of Levi. Something happened between Genesis and Exodus here to the tribe of Levi. They became men who evidently got saved, who walked in the things of the Lord, who trusted the things of the Lord. They became a redeemed people. And that's what's going to happen with you and I as we walk in this world, as we come to redemption, as we come to faith and walk in the truth, that things are going to change in our lives. Our thoughts are going to change. The way that we walk in this world is going to change. The things that we want to do are going to change. Everything about us is going to change because God tells us that he's going to make us a new creature, a new creation. And all things are become new. Every part of us is going to become new. The way that we act, the way that we speak, the things that we think, all those things are going to become new for the children of God. The world can't do that because they don't have a place where they can get all of that. They don't have a place where they can receive all of that. All they have is just what they have in front of them, what they see, and the world is what they see. You and I have eyes of faith, and we see the things of the Lord because they're high and lifted up. And that's what we want to do this morning, is lift Jesus higher so that we can see him and see the things that he has for us. And so it tells us this in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, is Paul speaks to the church at Corinth, and remember, it was a messed up church, but he was working through it, and he looks at them, and he says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you?" And that's one of the things that we have to realize, is that not everybody that calls themselves Christians, because remember, over 60% of America believes that they're Christians. Hate to tell you, it's a bad number. Because not everybody that says they're a Christian is really a Christian, has really given their lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This young man who killed Charlie Kirk grew up as a Mormon. The Mormons do not have the Holy Spirit within them because they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe Jesus is God. They have a different Lord. They have a different Jesus. So they don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. So they can only do natural things that come about in a world. They can call themselves Christians. They can put on that front that says, "I am a Christian," and you and I can do the same thing. You and I can walk in here and smile and say, "Yeah, I know Jesus," when in reality you're saying, "I know about Jesus, but Jesus is not in my heart." Because if Jesus is in your heart, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Scripture tells us that it's true, it's real. That's what we trust, that's what we see, that's what we understand from the reading of God's word. You need to stand on that and not be swayed by it. Because everything sounds good out in the world, but not everything is good. The only things that are good is God. And God breathed and God delivered. And if you're not trusting what God delivers, then you're not trusting the God of the word, and you have no part in Jesus. And that sounds harsh. And I'm not trying to be harsh to you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. And this is the truth of God's word. We need Jesus. And if we're redeemed people, then our lives are going to change. Our outlook is going to change. Our language is going to change. Our thoughts are going to change. And we're going to represent Jesus well. And we all go through those phases where we look and we say words that we shouldn't say. We think things that we shouldn't think. And Jesus reminds us, I'm standing right next to you. I'm indwelling you. And you're saying those words. You're saying that joke that you think is funny. He says, I don't think it's funny. Oh, and you sober up to the things of the Lord really quickly. Not because we can't say those things, but they aren't good for us. They aren't going to make us more like him. They're going to make us more like the world. And so he tells us to separate ourselves from those things, from those attitudes, from those thoughts, from those things. And Paul here says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Why aren't you your own? Because you've been redeemed. Just like we're looking in chapter 3 of Numbers, that redemption. We're redeemed people. We're bought with a price. We take communion for the same reason, to remember that Jesus bought us with a price. In Numbers there, he said that the Lord said that he has redeemed every firstborn. But instead of taking all of the firstborn of Israel, he just took them of the tribe of Israel, or the tribe of Levi, to have as his own, to work in the temple, to minister in the temple. And there's a purpose. And I've got a purpose too. I'm getting there. Really slowly, but we're getting there. And as redeemed people and as people of God, we are now, the New Testament says, a kingdom of kings and priests. So we are, in essence, Levites. You can't be a priest without being a Levite, but not all Levites are priests. Some of the Levites just work in the temple and carry things and do things and set up the tabernacle and all of that. Not all of them are priests, but they're in the service of the Lord. But we're a kingdom of kings and priests. And as priests, we have responsibilities, but we also have duties. We also should be those redeemed people that represent our Lord, because that's who these priests are representing, is their Lord. They're representing them to the people. They're representing them to the world. And Paul goes on and he says in verse 20 of that same chapter, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, because of that statement, because of that thought, because of that being put into you, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Why? Because they are God's. Oh, everything about us is God's. He's not just God over us and God in us on Sunday and Wednesday. He's God over us and in us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday too. And do we represent him well in the midst of that? Oh, so we're these redeemed people that are walking through this world. They're walking in this world. And the chapter in Numbers talks about the Kohathites and what they did and where they came from and all of that. They were part of the tribe of Levi, and they were doing those things. And he numbers them, and then he gives them shekels and tells them that that's the redemption money to give to the priests. But there's something that's associated with it that I really want to get to. And if you would, you don't have to hold your place here because we're probably not coming back because of time constraints. But go to chapter 44 of the book of Ezekiel. It's a great chapter. If you thought that all of Ezekiel was just a wheel within a wheel and everything's spinning and nobody knows what the wheel within a wheel is and all these eyes are floating all over the place, that isn't all that the book is about. There's more to it. In chapter 44, he has this wonderful picture for kings and priests. We see the glory filling the house. We see the gate for the prince, and we know that that's going to be Jesus. But he has a future that's going to come about, this future temple that he's going to build, a future temple that he's going to establish, and he's going to have priests and people working in that place to minister to him. And it's an important thing as we see it and as we go through it. So please have your spiritual ears open as we go through this and listen to God's word. And he says in verse 9 of chapter 44 of Ezekiel, thus saith the Lord God, no stranger uncircumcised in heart nor uncircumcised in flesh shall enter into my sanctuary. Remember I said in Numbers there was the stranger that shouldn't come near it, because if he was, he was going to be put to death. The stranger in Scripture is one who doesn't know the Lord. The stranger is one who's uncircumcised in heart, uncircumcised in flesh. We don't have to be circumcised in the flesh anymore with the New Testament church, but we are our hearts should be circumcised. The cutting away of those things of the flesh should be gotten rid of out of our heart. And he calls the priests to do that. And he calls you and I to that same place. And what things are we still holding on to that are of the flesh, that are not of God? He says, I really want to cut those away from you because they're doing you harm as you walk through this world. They're doing you harm as you walk through this life. You're depressed. You're oppressed. You're caught up with the things of the world. And God says, I want to cut those things away from you so that you can represent me well and be these new creatures in Christ. So none of these shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that's among the children of Israel. They can be there. They can be in the tribes. They can be walking along with them. But if they don't know the Lord, then they're none of his. Oh, and we have to be naive if we think that everybody that's in the church, the real church, the New Testament church that's in this world right now, We are naive if we believe that everybody that's in the church is saved and born again. And we can't sit around looking and going, well, let's see, there's one over there. He's not really listening, so I'll write his name down as one of those stranger things. Oh, there's one. Oh, she's got on a funky-looking dress. I got to put her on the uncircumcised list. I got to put her on that side. Look at that hairdo. Oh, did you see? Put that one on the uncircumcised. We go through all these things, but that isn't anything of the Lord. That isn't anything that God has. We're not here to search out everybody else to see who is and who isn't. We're here to take care of ourselves. Lord, I got enough trouble with myself. I can't take time to look all around me and see who is and who isn't. I certainly want to be a witness in this world, but I got a bunch of junk in here that I want the Lord to just spoon out and take care of. Pumpkin season. Here we are with pumpkins. What do you do with pumpkins? You open it up and you dig out the junk and you throw it out. That's what the Lord wants to do with us. He wants to open us up, spoon out the junk, and get rid of it. Are you letting him? Or are you that pumpkin that's fighting the owner with the knife and the spoon? Are you fighting him? And you know pumpkins. Sometimes pumpkins are awful. You can cut the top and you get all of the things going and you can't get that top off no matter what you do. And you take the knife and you put it in there 5 or 6 times and you still can't get the top off and you just throw it down and smash it anyway. Ugh. I don't know where that came from, but that probably wasn't the Lord. Let's go on with the word and forget all this pumpkin stuff here. Oh boy, Lord, help me. See why I need prayer? And that's one thing, folks. Prayer meetings really need to be attended. You need to be a person of prayer. We're in a country that hates Christians. We're in a country, in a world that hates Christians. We've got an enemy of our soul, Satan, who hates Christians. We've got our own flesh that hates us being walking with the Lord. You've got a big fight on your hands. You need to be in prayer. If you can get to prayer meetings, get to prayer meetings. If you can't, pray. But I encourage you to pray every day for yourself, for the world, for the people around you. Be in prayer. Prayer is what's going to make a difference for your life, and it's important. Verse 10, it says, and the Levites that are gone far away from me when Israel went astray, which went astray after me, after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. So there's Levites. When the idols came in, some of the Levites went away and started serving other idols in the name of the Lord, but not doing the things of the Lord. They weren't faithful. They weren't steadfast. They weren't true. Oh, may that not be said of us. And that's our prayer for you. That should be your prayer for me, that I wouldn't walk away. Because, folks, I can walk away just as quick as anybody else with the best of them. Because I know my heart. I know my heart's deceitfully wicked. It keeps coming up. I was telling Paul, I had a dream last night. I had to repent of it this morning when I got up. It was just a dream. But evidently it was an attitude of heart that was there that isn't good. And we need to get rid of those things. They went astray. But look at the grace of God in verse 11. They went away from him. They served other things. They had their iniquities in verse 11. Yet shall they be ministers in my sanctuary. In this future kingdom, they're going to be there because of their relationship with him, but they've walked in sin. They haven't done those things that represented him well. And there was going to be a separation between those that really walked with him and those that didn't walk with him. And we're going to see that as we go on here. They're going to be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of the house, ministering to the house. And notice those words, take note of those words, because they're going to become important. And they shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them. That's important, that whole sentence. Keep that in mind. It's not important for you to go there. You don't want to go there. This is one of those things that you want to stay away from. Well, it sounds like they're doing good. They're doing sacrifices. They're doing offerings. They're before the people. What do you mean they're not good? Hold it in mind. He says in verse 12, because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Notice they had the power to make people fall into iniquity because of what they did. It touched other people's hearts and it caused them to fall into sin. Not that they did it, because every man is responsible for his own choices, but their example caused others to say, well, if he's a man of God and he's working in the temple and he's doing this, then I can do this. Ooh. They rationalized it. And folks, if you see me doing something that I shouldn't be doing, please, thank you. You have the freedom to tell me. And Michael will. If you can't say it, just give it to Michael. He'll tell me. He doesn't care. So he finishes up verse 12 and he says, therefore have I lifted up mine hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. They're going to suffer the consequences of their sin. Ooh. Instead of having a blessing, they're going to suffer consequences of their sin. Oh, Lord, help us. And they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor come to me, come near to any of my holy things. We're going to see this in chapter 4 as we go through the book of Numbers. But this is just giving us a heads up on what's to come. So read ahead and you'll find out what's going on. They aren't going to touch any of his holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house, the grace of God, for all the service thereof, and for all that shall be done therein. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, take note of this man. This man is a good guy. We like Zadok. So if you have any grandkids, encourage your kids to name him Zadok. He's a good one. Don't name him some of those other names. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me. There was the sons of Zadok who, in spite of where everybody else went to, they went against the flow and they said, we're not doing that. That is not part of who I am. My God is different than that. My God says that's wrong. And I'm not going to go there. Whoa, that's boldness. Because all the rest of Israel went there. That's boldness. That's steadfastness. That's faithfulness. And that's what God has called us to be. Well, I'd like to, but you know my condition. I got diseases. I got infirmities. I got a mindset. I've got things that I got to do. He says, you can change it if you want to. But a lot of us are not going to change those things because we just plain out don't want to. I don't want to be different. I want to fit in. Folks, you're like a square peg trying to go into a round circle. It just ain't going to make it. You can pound it. You can push it. You can shove it. You aren't going to fit. If you're born again, if you know Jesus, you aren't going to fit in the world. We don't fit in the world. We're not in that place. We don't have to call other people names. We don't have to sit there and say, I'm glad Charlie Kirk is dead. He should have died sooner. And people have said that. It's awful. They're out there saying it because they're different. They don't know Jesus. You can't get mad at them. You can't yell at them. You can't retort back to them. You pray for them because they need Jesus. They aren't going to see Jesus if you get mad at them and start punching them in the face. That isn't going to help anything. That isn't going to get them into the kingdom. I love you in Jesus' name, but I'm going to pound your face. Wait a second. That just doesn't go together here. And yet that's what a lot of Christians are doing. Don't do it, folks. Pray for them. They hurt. They're not saved. They need Jesus. And if it wasn't for Jesus doing that with us, we would be the ones yelling at him, wouldn't we? And we'd be the ones killing the Charlie Kirks. Jesus saved us. He's got a whole new life for us. Walk in it. Don't make excuses. Just walk. I don't know where that came from. Oh, boy. Verse 15, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat of the blood, saith the Lord. Look at where the sons of Zadok are. The Lord says they're going to come right before me. Why? Because they stayed steadfast and faithful. Folks, that needs to be you and I. That should be your prayer. That should be your hope. That should be your focus. It's to not walk in the ways of the world, even though they surround it with Christian terms, but to put it in truth. The other Levites, where are they? They're taking care of the things of the tabernacle. They're putting up the tabernacle. They're putting up the altars. They're doing the offerings, but they're not anywhere near the Lord. What does Jesus tell us in Hebrews? Come boldly before the throne of grace. That's for those who are steadfast and faithful, because that's where they're going to want to be. That's where Zadok wanted to be, and that's where the Lord is putting him now, because he stayed faithful in the little things. He's given him faithfulness and putting him before him in the big things. You wonder why some people get promoted in the world in God's economy, and why they have all this stuff, and why they have all the blessings, and why they have all the things that are going on in their life that are all Jesus-related, because they stayed faithful and they're walking in the truth. And we think of the Billy Grahams, and well, we're nothing like a Billy Graham, but you know what? If you're faithful in the small things, God is going to promote you in his economy and bless you in his ways that are going to put you in the forefront right before him. And you can still be a housewife just staying at home. But if you're doing it steadfastly and in God's economy, you're boldly before the throne of grace. You're right in front of him because you're faithful. You don't have to be a Billy Graham. You can be a Joe Schmo. But Joe Schmo's close to the Jesus, just as close as Billy Graham is. It's just that's where he put Billy Graham. This is where he's put you and I. Let's stay faithful in it. You don't have to have a big name. You have to have a big God, and you need to serve him. The sons of Zadok, they're going to stand before me to offer unto me the fat, the blood, saith the Lord God, and they're going to enter into my sanctuary, and they're going to come near to my table to minister unto me. Whoa! Yahoo! We get to go before the CEO, and we get to stand before him, and we're with him. Where are the Levites? Doing the offerings, putting up the tents. Where's the sons of Zadok? They're ministering to the Lord. They're ministering to God in person. There's a difference between where the Levites were and where these priests, the sons of Zadok, were. The Levites were in the kingdom. They were doing those things, but they were not ministering unto the Lord. They were ministering, it says, look back here, in verse 11, is partway down through the scripture, it says, and they did the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them. Them is the people. The sons of Zadok are ministering to the Lord. The Levites are ministering to the people. Who do you want to minister to? Do you want to minister to the people, or do you want to minister to the Lord? We want to minister to the Lord because that's the highest place. That's the higher place. We're still going to minister to the people, but you're going to be blessed more being before the Lord than you are being away from him. There's a difference between what is happening here with these folks. They're still in his presence. They're still loving the Lord. They're still walking in the truth of who he is, but they haven't got the closeness. They haven't pressed into the closeness of the Lord. These sons of Zadok stayed faithful in the little things, in the hard times, and they ended up in a better place. It's always better to minister to the Lord in everything that we do. That's why in Colossians it says, whatever you do, do it heartily. What? As unto the Lord. Not to the people, to the Lord. If you're ministering to the Lord, the people are going to be more blessed than you are if you just minister to them. And I know it sounds like a little separation there, and it is a little separation. But he has a great plan for each and every one of us. But I want to see you guys so pressed into the things of the Lord, and I want you to pray for me that I would be so pressed into the things of the Lord that I wouldn't just be ministering to people, that I'd be ministering to God in doing the best for the people that I can do. I want the very best, and the very best is being in his presence always. The sons of Zadok got to minister to the Lord, and they got to enter into the sanctuary, and they came near to God's table, and it says they ministered unto me, and they're the ones that are going to keep my charge. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments. Sound familiar? Like in Isaiah, what kind of garments are we going to be clothed in? The robes of righteousness. And no wool shall come upon them, nothing that will cause them to sweat or to itch while they minister in the gates of the inner court within. And they shall have on linen bonnets. I'm not so sure about that part, but hey, I'll put up with it. Upon their heads, everything covered with the things of the Lord is really the picture of it. And they shall have linen breeches upon their loins, and they shall not gird themselves with anything that will cause them to sweat. And when they go forth into the utter court, even unto the utter court to the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they ministered and lay them in the holy chambers. And they shall put on other garments when they shall not sanctify, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. And it goes through all these things, but the picture that I'm trying to get to, the picture that I'm trying to have for you and for me, is that we have a different calling, we have a different place, and we have that opportunity to minister to the Lord or to minister to people. And sometimes ministering to the people causes us not to see the goodness of God and to walk in the truth of that. Remember the disciples when Jesus came and Mary broke the flask of ointment, and it was a whole year's worth of savings. This bottle of ointment cost a whole year's wages. And what did Judas say? You could have taken it and given it to the poor. What's the matter with you? He was upset with the way Jesus accepted it. Folks, if you're upset with Jesus, you got an issue. Because Jesus is always good. And Jesus is our King. And if you're upset with him, you got a heart issue that needs to be taken care of, that needs to be sanctified, that needs to be taken over with the things of the Lord. Because it's going to cause you hurt later on. Because you're going to not be so close to the Lord. You're not going to press in. You're not going to stay faithful. You're going to think that you've got a better way. And Judas said he had a better way, didn't he? And look at his end. He hung himself, and the rope broke, and his innards squirted all over the place. Great picture, isn't it? I didn't have to say that, probably. Graphic is good for guys. The better place is to press in and to just have those places where God can really take care of you, because you're so pressed in that he's ministering to you and you're ministering to him. Minister to the Lord. It's the best place for the people. It's the best place for your family. It's the best place for where you work. It's the best place for who you are in your own life. Ministering to him is a better place. So, Father, as we prepare to take communion, Lord, that you would just minister to us and speak to our hearts, Lord. If we're holding on to anything, if we're in a place right now where we're so busy ministering to the people that we've forgotten to minister to you, Lord, we have to realize that we're not in the same place. We're not in a better place. We're in a good place, but it's not the best place. So, Lord, help us to come to the best place to minister to you. Help us to be like the sons of Zadok and not just like the rest of the Levites. They got to do things, they got to minister, but Lord, they only ministered to needs of people. Father, may we minister unto you. Whatever we do, Lord, let us do it heartily with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but let us do it for you. Let us do it because you're telling us to. Help us not to do it just because it seems like the right thing to do. Help us to do it because you're telling us. We love you, Lord. We thank you. Speak to our hearts as we sit before you and just minister to our hearts in that way that would just show us where we are, Father. We need to know because we need to know what to do. And Father, if we know where we are, then we know what to do. So, Lord, help us with it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we're just so thankful that we can come before you knowing that we're accepted in the Beloved because of what your Son Jesus has done for us. We've accepted your free gift of salvation. We're walking in the truth of it. Lord, thank you that we can be in your presence, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. There's no one that's going to stand before you that's accepted on their own merits or their own goodness, because we have no goodness. It was only your goodness and grace that's brought us into this place. We look at the bread and see it pierced and see it broken because your body was broken. Your body was pierced for us. That was part of the redemption price. You redeemed us. You paid for us with a price. Just as we saw in Numbers that you took the people of Israel. You took the firstborn because you had redeemed them. You paid the price for them. And so, Father, as we look and see, we see that you paid the price for us. We see the cup just representing your blood that was poured out. because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no taking away of that sin that separates us from you. The only way that it can be taken care of is by accepting that free gift of Jesus. So thank you, Lord, that we're in that place, that we see that, that we understand that, we accept it, Lord. And we give you thanks because of what you've done. And so we take these now with thanksgiving because you paid the price for us, because we had a price we couldn't pay. There was no person that was able to pay the price, but the only begotten Son of God, Jesus, who came from heaven in the form of a man to take our place so that we could have relation with our God in heaven. So thank you, Lord, for doing all of that. And we take it with thanksgiving now, remembering all that you've done and giving you thanks for it, Lord. And we take it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.